Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Los Angeles County is under mass evacuations right now as three wildfires tear through the area, leaving thousands of acres scorched. Dozens of homes and businesses are believed to have already been destroyed by the flames. Dire warnings have been issued, with officials saying there is an immediate threat to life in several towns.
Fox News Channel's Carly Shimkus giving that update, or that news, breaking news alert on the dramatic and chaotic and catastrophic event taking place in Southern California right now. The visuals of this fire sweeping over neighborhoods is nothing that I have ever seen before. And we want to talk to our friend DeRoy Murdoch about it right now. DeRoy, it's good to have you back on the show. Of course, you're a nationally syndicated columnist, a Fox News contributor. But these California wildfires, as I understand it, hit a bit close to home for you.
No doubt about that, Annie. Happy New Year. I don't know if that's really the appropriate phrase to use today, but it's first we're speaking in 2025, and what an unfortunate start to the year we've had so far. And yeah, these fires are quite personal for me. I grew up in Los Angeles, as you may know, and specifically I went to Palisades High School, which is right in the middle of all the chaos and mayhem we're seeing right now. I'm not exactly certain what the status of Palisades High School is at the moment.
Is it the same as Palisades Charter High School, or is that different?
Correct. Same. When I was there, it was called Palisades High School, then it got changed to Palisades.
There's
became a charter school.
So. There's actually a Fox News alert that says that it has been destroyed, because it's listed as being featured in the movie Carrie and Freaky Friday, and it says that the fire has reached it. I'm sorry to say that to you.
Well, thanks for the update. It's obviously a constantly changing situation, but it isn't Freaky Friday, and a number of other pictures. And it's a beautiful, was a beautiful campus, but because of the lovely weather, rather than being kind of a closed structure, you basically have these big terraces all over the place and big wide hallways. And the classrooms, which open onto the big hallways, open air hallways and open air, terraces, verandas, and so on. So very physically open campus, lots of sunshine, palm trees. When I was there, class of 1982, I was there between 1979 and 1982. So we had, wonderful time, great weather, lovely. It was just almost like, a beach resort where they happen to have some classes. From the second floor classrooms, you could look down Temescal Canyon. You may have seen Temescal Canyon Road on some of the coverage, and look right down at Will Rogers Beach and see the waves crashing up on the shore. And some of the surfers would say, well, the waves are a little too big to miss, so we're just going to have to skip algebra class or whatever it might be and go down and surf for a couple hours and, come back and figure out some way to get an excuse from the parent, or maybe falsify one or what have you. So anyway, it was a wonderful place to go to school, and beautiful part of L.A., very scenic and comfortable and lovely. And so it's just very, very excruciating to watch this footage and see that area so well just completely demolished.
Well, DeRoy, we're speaking, here in St. Louis. I was talking a little bit in our first segment about how we are very familiar with tornadoes. We are right on the New Madrid Fault, so we've been hearing forever, decades, about the big earthquake that is eventually going to happen. It hasn't happened yet, but it is a top-of-mind thing for people who are residentially here and have been for some time. I've never lived in California, but I have visited several times that area of the country. I got to think that people are aware of the threat existing of wildfires. And I'm wondering, should there have been more preparation to push back against what's happening? Or maybe it's possible that this is just so magnificently awful that it got out of hand before it could get under control.
Well, this is magnificently awful. It's not that unusual to have Santa Ana winds, which come in off the desert. Sometimes if they're low level, it can be quite lovely. You basically get you get days up in the 80s and 90s, but very, very dry. All the smog and a marine layer and haze just blow off to sea, and you get incredibly beautiful, crisp days. You can see forever, and then at night you'd see, it's like being a planetarium, all the stars come out. And there's a very nice sort of almost standard static electricity kind of crackle in the air. If it's mild Santa, it's lovely. When it gets up into the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, it's another story. And because of the very low humidity and the wind, fires break out, and then they just get turbocharged like what you're seeing right now. I think certainly what should have happened, and I guess has not been happening, is that there should be, in times where you don't have winds blowing, there should be controlled fires. They need to reduce brush, go in and take the vegetation out, and that kind of thing. And in many cases, that's just not been done in years or decades. And so you get all this potential fuel that catches fire, and you get what you're seeing on your TV screens today.
What is, these people who are fleeing, obviously there's well-established neighborhoods that are here. It's not like this is something that people there experience because they've been there for a long time. What does recovery look like for these folks who are losing everything other than, you know, God willing, they manage to save their lives? What happens in the recovery here?
Listen, I've been hearing from friends of mine, enough people know the area, but basically Sunset Boulevard from Amalfi going all the way west to the coast, beautiful winding roads with mansions on either side. All that apparently has been burned to the ground. There's a Gelson's Market near Palisades High School. That's gone. There's a Ralph's, a whole bunch of other shops and other areas have been burned down. Area below Sunset, sort of the Riviera Palisades going down towards Chautauqua, if you know where that is. That apparently is burned to the ground. So, I mean, I think there are apparently 1,000 homes that have been destroyed. People, I guess, are going to try to rebuild, but that's a very expensive part of the city. Yeah. These homes start at $2 and $3 million on up. We'll see what happens with the insurance companies. I mean, if I were the president of Allstate or Mutual of Omaha, I would be biting my fingernails big time right now because these are going to be some major insurance claims. And, you know, I think some people will rebuild, and it's going to take a long time. But part of the beauty of that area is the old, many cases, old architecture, beautiful trees, lovely landscaping. It's going to take, you know, years and years and years to put all that back in and have it look anywhere like it did yesterday or the day before.
Dori Murdoch speaking with us right now, Fox News contributor, nationally syndicated columnist, and also Project 21 ambassador. I want to talk to you about, not about necessarily politics leading into this catastrophe, but politics may have something to do with what happens after this catastrophe for people who are like, gosh, do I want to go down that route? Because if you were ever going to leave a place after all of this, this might be the thing that makes you say, all right, you know, everything that I had here that is gone now, I'm going to have to reestablish roots. How do you, what is your advice to the governor of the state of California and the people who are running these more local governments right now? Because California doesn't seem to be the most, you know, comfortable financially, economically overregulated place to live.
You raise a very good point, Annie, which is if you have a situation like this, it gives people, it really puts them in the fork in the road. You know, do we want to spend the time and energy clean up the mess, get permits, hire an architect, hire a contractor, build a house? Where are you going to live in the meantime? Do you sit in a hotel for 2 years while you rebuild your house, et cetera? Or do you say, you know what, Palm Beach is looking pretty good,
yeah,
or I'm off to Nashville, or gee, maybe it's time to go to Austin, whatever it might be. And I think a lot of people are going to have that choice. A lot of them will say, you know what, it's just not worth it. I'm out of here. Especially if you look at things like the lack of preparedness for the fires. Apparently the reservoirs that feed the water hydrants have been not replenished quickly enough, so the firefighters are running out of water. The mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, so she's not downtown at City Hall. Maybe she's there now, but when this thing erupted, she wasn't even in California. She wasn't in the United States. She was in Ghana, of all places. A lot of people are like, okay, why are you in Ghana while we're burning the ground? So that lack of leadership, I think, will probably lead some people to get up and leave. I would say what I would say to Karen Bass and to Gavin Newsom, if you've got people who are in that situation, you want to give them every incentive to stick around. That means more easy access to permits, quicker approvals. If the decision is no, you can't build for whatever reason, at least give people a quick answer. And then, you know, we're thinking about it. You can't get an answer one way or the other. Hopefully it's a yes, but if it's no, make it a quick no. And then make it as easy as possible to hire people, put people in place. And for those who want to rebuild, you know, don't make the road any steeper, make the road flatter for them.
Yeah.
And I don't know if people like Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass are, you know, if they're wired that way, they're wired generally to say no rather than say yes, unfortunately. They're going to have to revisit that if they want to get people to stick around and rebuild as opposed to pack up and, you know, take the next flight to Florida, Texas, or Tennessee.
Yeah. I mean, you don't even have to pack your things because the things are gone.
Well, that's right. Nothing to pack.
Yeah. Droy, I live in the state of Illinois and I work here in the state of Missouri. And it's such a stark difference in the way business is done just from an Illinois regulatory process. You want to, you know, put a deck on your house. It's super complicated to do it. In one side, it's less complicated to do it in another. Building homes and permitting. And, you know, I've been looking into building a home, and the kind of insulation you have to have in Illinois is different than what you have to have in Missouri. And Illinois, I sometimes feel like Illinois is the test kitchen for liberal left-leaning crazy because people don't pay attention to it here the way they might pay attention to it on the East Coast or in California. But if you want to talk about regulatory measures and like where do the ideas of what kind of stove you can have in your house or what kind of shower faucet can you have, this stuff all comes out of California. How do you build 1,000 new homes when all of this red tape is in the way? I think that there's going to be some sort of political reckoning that takes place in the wake of this, because in mass, we're going to see how punitive, over-regulatory babysitter government actually is.
Well, there are two points. One is, as you say, if people decide, you know, hey, we're going to stick around, we're going to rebuild, we really love the Palisades, we're going to make the effort to stay here, and then you've got to buy this particular stove and that particular refrigerator and this kind of dishwasher. Very often they're more expensive than the standard models, and they also often don't work as well as the standard models. So that's one problem. The other problem is when Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass should have been saying, okay, we want to get people up in the hills to cut that brush down,
yeah,
you know, peel back on the vegetation. You know, I mean, let's take the fuel out of there so that if we get a fire, it's a small fire, not a Armageddon. But instead of focus on that, we were focused on, oh, you have to have this kind of a shower, and you need to have electric vehicle mandates, and no, that dishwasher uses too much energy, and you need to have this kind of a microwave, and you got to have this kind of stove. And they spent all this time on, you know, let's make things quote unquote sustainable. Well, I'm looking at LA right now. It doesn't look like it's being sustained. It looks like it's being destroyed. I really wish these people focused on how do we keep this place safe and intact rather than engaging in sort of green virtue signaling, which now has led to a lot of black smoke and destruction and mayhem.
Yeah. And it'll be I don't know if these governmental leaders have it in them. Their religion is their regulatory process is how they worship. And I don't know that they're going to have it in them to make it palatable. Now, you can't go to Tennessee and get the Palisades. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So the landscape, God willing, will be restored and people will be able to figure it out. But I think there will be a lot of interest going forward as to how they're able to build that without getting so much in the way of the poor people who are losing everything as we speak.
I really hope you're right about that. You know, again, as you were sort of both indicating, I don't know if those brain cells exist in the minds of Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass, and even beyond those two, the California state legislature, which makes Gavin Newsom look maybe a little bit like, maybe not Ronald Reagan, maybe like Mitt Romney. And I think the LA City Council is probably to the left of Karen Bass, which is pretty left.
That's wild.
So, you know, the legislators and local and state legislators are no better. But it may be perhaps in a situation like this, which is so devastating and so severe and so dramatic and so horrible, maybe they'll say, all right, maybe we should take our boots off people's necks a little bit and let them breathe and hope that encourages them to stick around rather than, as you say, there's nothing to pack, it's all burned. Just get on the next plane and, you know, move to the free state of Florida or something of the sort.
Droy, last question before we let you go. We appreciate your time today. We've got, 12 days or something until Donald Trump is inaugurated? How much does it matter to the people of Southern California who is in that federal position to be of service?
Oh, I think a lot. I mean, there's certainly federal regulations that could be dialed back. And part of President reelect Trump's agenda is to restore the pace of deregulation that we saw in his first administration. So that's, I think, would provide a lot of potential assistance. He wants to get rid of all these, you know, gas stove mandates. If you want to have a gas stove, you can buy a gas stove. So if you're rebuilding a house, you can spend money on less money for a gas stove that works as opposed to a lot of money for an electric stove that's probably more expensive to install, more expensive to operate. But in addition to that, Donald J. Trump is a one-man bully pulpit. In addition to whatever he can do in terms of federal regulations, I'm sure he will make it very well and clearly known what he believes about the need for deregulation in California to rebuild from these fires. And if he can't do anything directly about what goes on in Sacramento and in LA City Hall, he certainly can make a lot of noise and give, shall we say, apply carrots as well as sticks to try to forgive the pun, light fires under the derrieres of Karen Bass and Gavin Newsom.
Well, there is a lot to be happy about this new year, and unfortunately this story is not one of those things, but happy new year to you. We always love speaking with you, and God willing, they get this under control very quickly, and your hometown there, that it gets restored as quickly as possible without a whole lot of obstacles getting in the way.
That would be nice.
All right.
Very good.
Thank you, Dory.
All right. Annie. Thanks very much. Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Dory Murdoch there, Fox News contributor, Project 21 ambassador, nationally syndicated columnist, and our friend here on The Annie Frye Show. Quick break. When we come back, Wiggins America with Ethan. It's a younger, smarter, better version. That's what we keep saying, at least this week. He looks a little skeptical right now, so maybe we're moving a little bit back into Ryan Wiggins territory. There's only one way to find out, and that's to not go anywhere. Go to the Annie Frye YouTube channel. We want to talk about this throughout the course of the show as well. We did discuss yesterday, there's like a five-minute video from Mark Zuckerberg making commitments to you as somebody who uses Meta products like Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, and whatever else he owns. But they're moving away from policing communication and speech the way they have before. And he said, we're going to do it a little bit more like Twitter, like X, like what Elon Musk has done. The YouTube live chat poll for today is, will Mark Zuckerberg make Facebook great again? Yes or no? Now, one little caveat for you. If you never thought Facebook was great in the beginning, that doesn't mean he can't make it great again. Do you think Mark Zuckerberg's going to do what he needs to do in order to make free speech feel comfortable on his platforms? Annie Frye YouTube channel, come say hi, and don't go away, because Ethan in for Wiggins America.
Get more at 971talk.com.